Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
One of the most iconic items in American and Canadian brands of football are the goalposts. These towering giants make a statement. They differentiate a football field from those of soccer, field hockey, and lacrosse, etc. But they still can be found around the football world in a variety of shapes and sizes. In this episode, we cover the history of the goalposts, coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. And we're going to enter into that portal to look at one of the game's most iconic features, and those are the goalposts found at each end of the field. The roots of the gridiron game are stated many times share the same path as soccer and rugby. One of the main objectives of the early predecessors of these games was for competitors to kick a ball of some sort towards some structure of some sort or goal at their opponent's end of the field. These early games of the Greeks and Romans generally had the goal as being a boundary line of some sort. But then the seven major schools of England adopted adaptations of these games in the 12th century, and the structures to shoot at started to appear in history. One of these was the school of rugby. At the rugby school, their version of football differed from those of the rest of England, with the rules that players could hold and carry the ball in their arms. Legend has it that one player in 1823 disregarded the established rules and tucked the ball under his arm and dashed across the goal of the opponents. By the 1830s, running with the ball at the rugby school was common use, and an 18-foot goal post had been added with a crossbar at 10 feet above the ground. The innovation of the crossbar was accompanied by a rule that a goal could only be scored by the ball passing over the bar from a place kick or drop kick. Apparently, this was done to make scoring easier from further out and also to avoid a horde of defenders standing in and blocking the goal. These were the H-shaped posts, still found at many lower levels of football. And we have a few examples of that in some photos on Pigskin Dispatch in this article today. Now, the American influence on the goalposts. Well, when these games of Britain traveled across the pond to America, they were influenced and revised even further. The rules meeting on October 15th, 1871 by the Princeton Football Association, whereby they decided the field should be 500 feet in length by 300 feet in breadth, and the posts being 25 feet apart, according to the great historian Park H. Davis in his 1911 book, Football, the Intercollegiate Game. The men of the Yale Football Association changed the field size again in their October 31st, 1872 meeting, a little over a year and 2 weeks later. They reduced the goalpost width to 8 feet apart, and the playing field was shrunk slightly to 400 feet by 250 feet wide, and it had 20 players per side. In each of these early renditions, the posts were set on the goal line at each end of the field. The NFL in 1920 played by the college rules, so they too had an H structure at each goal line. We must remember that the field goal was worth more than a touchdown at this time, so focus on the apparatus was extremely important to the game. In the 19th century, a field goal was worth 5 points, while the touchdown was worth only 4. In 1927, this scoring target device changed for the very popular brand of the game of that era, the college level. The NCAA in 1927 applied a rule where the goalposts were moved from the goal lines 10 yards further back on each end to the end lines. This may be the first instance of where the posts were found on the end line, which is extremely common today in the United States. The NFL followed suit, as they were still using the NCAA rulebook at the time. And in 1933, the NFL started writing their own rulebook and returned the missed sets of uprights to the goal line in an effort to encourage more scoring via field goals. This carried on for decades, with the top two levels of football in America having the posts in different locations from each other. The goal line placement of the H-shaped structures played a major role in at least one NFL title game, the 1945 NFL Championship. The game featured Washington and their star quarterback, Slingin' Sammy Baugh, against a tough Cleveland Rams team led by their rookie sensation signal caller, Bob Waterfield. The two teams were not the only contestants in this game, as the game time temperature of minus 8 degrees Fahrenheit and the end line's H's were found to be the other opponents in the game as well. Let's look at this story a little bit closer. An excerpt from the Game Before the Money website tells us that Baugh threw from his own end zone early in the game. He had a wide open receiver to his left, and that receiver had a blocker in front of him. Cleveland's defense featured a 12th man, however, the goalpost. The goalpost knocked down Baugh's pass, and by 1945 rules, that counted as a safety for the Rams because the goalposts were out of bounds in the end zone. So he threw from his own end zone, hit the goalpost in that end zone, and on the goal line, he's out of bounds in the end zone. It's a safety. The safety played a factor in the outcome, as the cold temps aided in a low-scoring affair, with the Rams winning by the narrowest of margins, 15-14 for a final score. It was interesting that some sports writers at the time listed the goalpost as the game's most valuable player. In 1967, a change to the style of the goalpost was introduced. The slingshot style that is prevalent today in the NFL, NCAA, and many other levels. According to an article on the Smithsonian Magazine, they were inspired by a very unique and imaginative way. Today's model, known for the obvious reasons as the slingshot goalpost, was first proposed in 1967 by Joel Rotman, a retired magazine and newspaper distributor and part-time inventor who came up with the idea while eating a steak lunch and noticing the prongs on his fork. As seen in Rotman's patent, the original design called for 10-foot uprights. The uprights were extended at the request of NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle, who then agreed to allow use in professional play. Within a year, every NFL team was using the new slingshot uprights. Another story of Rotman's inspirations was the curved streetlights found in most neighborhoods and highways. Whatever the inspiring object was, Rotman's idea was brilliant, and it really changed the goalpost forever. The first NFL title game to see the Rotman-style posts was Super Bowl II. In 1974, there was an NFL rule revision based on player safety that took the goalposts, remember they were on the goal line, and moved them back to the end lines to match the college game. The game has been much safer since at all levels in the U.S., and interference that they caused in the play of the game has been limited primarily to those in the kick for point attempt plays. Now, that is just some phenomenal, great history on one of the objects on a football field at each end, the goalposts. You know, who would have thought that those have changed that much in this great span of time, you know, the 150 plus years of playing the game of football, and even before in Roman and Greek times, you know, in England with the rugby school. But it's still a simple device. You have a bar 10 feet off the ground. You have two other structures that are boundaries, and you have to kick the ball over the bar but between the uprights, and that's how you get those points. You have the 1-point variety in a point after attempt and the 3-point variety in a field goal. We hope you enjoyed this great glimpse of football history and where some of the game's great iconic pieces came from, and why they are the way they are. And we hope you'll join us each and every day on pigskindispatch.com, because we want to bring you football history a little piece at a time. And that's why we do it day by day. And hope you're enjoying this, and we want your feedback. pigskindispatch@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @pigskindispatch, Facebook, the Pigskin Dispatch page, and we hope you'll give us some likes on each of those. And follow us on your favorite podcast provider. You can also see us on sportshistorynetwork.com, where we are one of 24 great podcasts bringing you sports history in a family-friendly manner, with some great guests and some great topics that I'm sure you'll enjoy. You have hours of entertainment. sportshistorynetwork.com. We hope you'll join us back tomorrow and check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and use that powerful Earl to Go search box that we have on our front page. As all of our pages, upper right-hand corner area, and put anything in the game of football in there in our search terms, and click search, and you will be surprised what you see. A lot of articles, a lot of content on pigskindispatch.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus, get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.